Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you again tonight. I hadn't planned on doing this podcast up until 2 days ago, but some events have taken place, some things have happened that have, I feel inclined to do this, and once I had made up my mind to do this, it was confirmed by the Spirit that it should be done, and actually the Lord revealed to me and to Margie together what the name of this podcast should be, and the name that came to us in Revelation was Weapons of Light. So with that, let's go ahead and begin. There are some things that I'm observing that I'm a little concerned with and have seen an uptick in these activities. One is I'm seeing where more and more that people are using the name of Jesus Christ, the healing powers of the gifts of the Spirit, to help people, but are charging money to do it. Over in Acts chapter 8, there's a story about a man called Simon the Sorcerer. You can look this up. In Acts chapter 8, this man was observing some of the miracles that Philip was performing. He was one of the 70. And followed him around. Watched Philip baptize, watched Philip cast out devils, watched Philip do all things that Philip did within the power of the Aaronic priesthood. Because Philip at this time did not have the power to bestow the gift of the Holy Ghost. Sometime later in the story, the apostles come from Jerusalem. And they take Philip's converts that have been baptized and lay their hands upon their head and bestow the gift of the Holy Ghost. And with this bestowal, there are some miraculous things that take place. And this Simon of Samaria sees these things and goes up to Peter and asks him to give him this power to do this, and he will pay him money to do it. And Peter's very bold and looks at him and says, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Then in verse 21, Peter goes on to say, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and look at verse 1. "And when he," Jesus, "had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Let's skip up to verse 8. Matthew 10, verse 8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." And this part right here. "Freely have you received, freely give." Let's go to 2 Nephi chapter 26, and let's look at verse 27, 28, and 29. Verse 27, "Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but he hath given it free for all men." Underline the word free. "He hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men to repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none is forbidden." This part right here. "He commandeth that there shall be no priestcrafts. For behold, priestcrafts are that men," and I would put also women, "preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world, but they seek not the welfare of Zion." I'm troubled when I see brothers and sisters invoking the name of the Savior and the gifts of His Spirit to bless others' lives, but charging money to do it. I think this is something that each of us need to look carefully at and beware and make sure that we're not offending the Spirit and have been deceived off into an area that's not pleasing with the Lord. Another thing that's come up is I've been asked what my thoughts are about various men and women who have left the church or have been excommunicated, who are teaching things that appear to be contrary to what the church teaches and what was revealed through the restoration prophets and sustained by the living prophets and apostles. I've been asked that question quite a bit, so I would like to just tell you what my feelings are on that. I take the position that you read about in Acts chapter 5. If you go to Acts chapter 5, and you start going to verse 29, you'll see that Peter and John and maybe other apostles are brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling class and religious leaders of the people. And Peter has this bold statement, we ought to obey God rather than man, and then he accuses them of killing Jesus in verse 30 and 31. And verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. This is what they want to do now, put them to death as they did Jesus for blasphemy. Now verse 34 is an interesting interchange takes place here. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now you can see that there's 70 men on this council. I don't know if they were all there at this time, but the Sanhedrin was made up of 70 men, and this man is their spokesman and top leader among this council. Then he says this in verse 35. This is the part where I want to. He said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Then he gives an example about some apostate Jews and false messiahs that you can read about in 36 and 37. Something that was current to their memory and history, and that everybody on that council, it sounds like, had a part in what took place there. Now in verse 38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men. This is Peter and John. And let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. This is my feelings towards these various groups and leaders of the groups and anybody who takes a different path than the one that I'm on. I refuse and try hard not to accuse or condemn anyone. I simply say, I don't know what's in their hearts. I don't know what their interaction with God and the Savior is. I don't know these things. All I know is I'm not inclined to follow that path. And that's how I look at these. I don't condemn. I don't find fault. I don't try to correct. I don't persecute. I don't malign, nor spread any kind of gossip nor rumors about them. I leave them alone. And I'm on my path that I've chosen that blesses my life, and I seek diligently to follow the voice and whisperings of the Holy Spirit and to take the Holy Spirit for my guide. As I mentioned earlier, the name of this lesson is called Weapons of Light. I'd like you to go to Revelations chapter 12 with me for a minute, and let's look at something else that's in here. I gave you those previous two examples because I've been asked quite often about those two things, and I thought maybe it would be good for me to state my feelings on that. I just know that in our day that we need to be very wise and prudent. The word prudent, at least one of the main definitions of prudent, is cautious. Wise and cautious. Revelations chapter 12 is in the news a lot these days. There's a great sign in the heavens for the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, and Leo. talking about a woman in Revelations 12 clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she gives birth to its child. You can look into that all you want. I would say that there is a notable eclipse that's going to take place on the 21st of August, followed by an alignment of these constellations on the 23rd of September. And there's much being spoken about that as one of the great biblical signs that fulfills the material written in the 12th chapter of Revelation. I find it interesting that this particular sign of the woman and her child has not been seen like this for over 6,000 years. And the Lord does talk about great signs in the heaven and on the earth, and so I think it behooves us to pay attention, do like the scriptures say, watch and be ready, for I come at an hour when ye know not, in another place as a thief in the night. The part I want to emphasize is verse 12 says this, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, this part, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I think it's easy to see that things have never been more perilous, and that's the word the brethren use, coming out of a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, perilous than they are now. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and let me just show you a couple of other scriptures that, to me, identify the day that we're in, and then we'll move into this purpose of this lesson tonight. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. You want to look that word up. Take a little time, pull your 1828 dictionary out. Look at that word. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Pretty good description of what's going on. There's been a shift. Things have changed. Things are not the same. Things will never be the same. I feel impressed to say again, as Elder Eyring and other prophets have said, that a casual approach to our membership in the church and the gospel of Jesus Christ will not sustain us in the days that are coming. The devil for sure has upped his game and ramped up his power. Let's look at some scriptures here. Let's go to 2 Nephi chapter 28. The Book of Mormon is the one scripture that identifies the works of darkness and the devil more than anything else. What a great blessing it is to have this book. Let's go to verses 21 and 22, 2 Nephi 28. Verses 21 and 22. Let's start in verse 20. For behold, at that day, which is our day, shall he rage in their hearts. That word rage of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. Boy, I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that isn't under attack and that isn't seeing family members, spouses, being brutally abused. And in some case, some of them are losing their lives as a result of this raging and stirring up to anger that's going on. Look at 21. Others he will pacify and lull away into carnal security. But they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well, and thus the devil cheateth their souls, leadeth them away carefully down to hell. The key word is carefully. You know, in the last few months, I've talked to many people. I've heard them say, when we talk about dealing with devils and unclean spirits, I've heard people say, even people in some leadership positions say, well, it's not that way anymore. That's the way it used to be in the days of Jesus, but it's not that way anymore. And I don't know what to say about that. To me, that is so myopic that you just, how can you read these scriptures here that were written to us and have that view. And the answer to that is, well, they're not reading these scriptures. And that is one of the problems. Look at verse 22. Others he flattereth away and telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, there is none. It's surprising to me how many people, not only Christians in the United States, but also within the church, have a real casual approach to the reality of the devil and those who align themselves with him and the battlefield of this life. I'm just amazed at how casual they are on that, and that's a fulfillment in verse 22. There is no devil, and I am none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains from whence there is no deliverance. Now before you get to the chains, let's go over and look at another one. Go back to 2 Nephi 26 for just a minute. And let's look at verse 22. Remember where he said he leadeth them away carefully. Well, here's how he works. Verse 22 in chapter 26, verse 22. There are also secret combinations, even as in times old, according to the combinations of the devil. He is the founder of these things, the founder of murder and the works of darkness. This part right here. He leadeth them by the neck. By the way, that's a great picture of a person captured and being led away into slavery. They bound them around their necks and led them away with cords. And notice that he leadeth them by the neck, a slave, in essence, with a flaxen cord. Now, flax is a plant that when you crush the stems, has really fine fibers that come out of it. And the cloth called linen used to be made, I don't know if it is now, but it used to make linen out of flax. And linen, if you look in the Book of Mormon, it talks about rich clothing. It also says clothing and fine twined linen. Well, this fine twined linen is made from the fiber of the flax plant. And it is so light that I used to take a piece of it when I teach in the class. I'd take one little strand of flax and I'd hold it up in front of a class between my fingers and I'd just turn it loose into the air. And it's so light that it would just float. There was no gravitational pull to it. It would just float in the air. I used to take a strand of that and ask a student to come up and hold up two fingers, and I'd wrap just a strand around their finger, kind of tie it off a little bit, and then say, now break that, and they could twist their fingers and easily break that little flaxen strand. But you take that same flaxen strand and you wrap it around the finger five or six times, and you can't break it. He leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. Let's go over to Moses chapter 6 and look in the Pearl of Great Price. This was going on at the time when Enoch's Zion was being established. And if we want to go to Moses chapter 6, and let's look at verse 15. You can look at the scriptures before and after to get the context of this. Verse 15, and the children of men were numerous upon all the face of the land. In those days, and I would like to say that those days are the pattern for our day. I think we're in the latter day pattern of the early days in the history of the world. In those days, Satan had great dominion among men and raged in their hearts, and from thenceforth came wars and bloodshed, and a man's hand was against his own brother in administering death because of secret works seeking for power. Well, that's just a perfect example of what we're talking about here. Go over to Moses chapter 7, you get one more here. Speaking of this same period of time, over in verse 23, you see that Zion's taken up, and look what happens in verse 26. He beheld Satan, that he had a great chain in his hand that veiled the whole earth, the whole face of the earth with darkness, and he, Satan, looked up at God and laughed, and his angels rejoiced. See, that's the day that we're in. Well, let's go and look at a couple others. Let's go to Doctrine and Covenants, section 71. Just three more, and then we'll get into this. In section 71, verse 9, the Lord says this, "Verily thus saith the Lord unto you, there is no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." Let's go to section 109 in the Doctrine and Covenants, and let's look at verse 25. This sets the stage for what I want to talk to you about tonight. 109, verse 25, "No weapon formed against them shall prosper, and he who diggeth the pit for them shall fall into the same pit. No combination of wickedness shall have power to rise up and prevail over my people, upon whom thy name shall be put on this house." Back again to verse 25, "No weapon formed against them shall prosper." And if you go to Isaiah 54, verse 17, then again we have the Lord saying through the great prophet Isaiah, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Well, brothers and sisters, that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight. In helping deliver people from the powers of the adversary, the Lord has weapons that he uses. You may be surprised to know that. There are heavenly weapons. One that we hear mentioned frequently is a sword of light or sword of truth. There are others. And the Satan has his own weapons. In the scriptures, his weapons are referred to as the fiery darts of the adversary. Now these are spiritual weapons that are designed to destroy spiritually, to captivate, and to enslave. And the Lord's weapons are designed to deliver, to free, and to lift up. The Lord's weapons are all light-based. They're all light-based. So as we talk about these tonight, whether it is the armor of God that's spoken of in Ephesians 6, and there is actual spiritual armor that can be placed upon you, usually placed by heavenly beings. In that armor, you'll have a helmet, a breastplate, a shield, things to protect your legs, and things to protect your loins, and an offensive weapon that can be used, called the sword of light. How do we access these things? Well, first of all, we need to have faith that they actually exist. And then once you have that faith, then as in acquiring all of the spiritual gifts that our Father has, you ask, seek, and knock to have them bestowed upon you. That's the word that's used, bestowed. One of the greatest of all the weapons of light is the gift of charity. I know a man who was concerned about the dark side using scriptural references and prophetic utterances in order to move forward their agenda of deception, captivity, and enslavement. They were using the very thing that the sons and daughters of God were using to promote and advance the cause of God in Zion. This man was concerned because he observed many of our brothers and sisters being sucked into these false movements. They were talking about the establishment of Zion, translation, and different things like that. And as he stood in the presence of Father, he expressed his concern about this deception. The interesting thing I found out is that Father quoted to this man a scripture found in the Book of Mormon. And this scripture is found in Moroni chapter 8, verse 16. Now keep in mind the context of this. This brother is standing before the Father. His beloved son was also there, and as he expressed his concern about the use of God's words and prophetic utterance to deceive, Father quoted this scripture, verse 16, Moroni 8:16. Woe be unto them that shall pervert the ways of the Lord after this manner, for they shall perish except they repent. Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God, and I fear not what man can do, this part right here, for perfect love casteth out all fear. The number one weapon of the dark side is fear. The number one weapon of our Father in defeating that is perfect love. Now look at the next verse, verse 7. And I am filled with charity, which is everlasting love. I love the idea that here is this brother standing in the presence of the Father and the Son, asking a question, and the Father quoted the verse out of the Book of Mormon to him. He had to go after the vision. He told me he had to go and look up the Book of Mormon to find out where it was. Isn't that a marvelous experience? Accompanying this podcast tonight will be several handouts in the Dropbox. One of them is a new copy of the paper that Scott Gillespie did that I had on an earlier podcast. He and his wife have been working on this for a couple of years, and they sent me the newly revised edition of that wonderful work, and I will post it in the Dropbox and say thank you, Scott, to you and your sweet wife, for all the time you've spent in making this available. It's a marvelous document and will be a blessing to all of us. I have since found out, since Tying Up Loose Ends podcast, I've had experience now with same gender attraction and same sex attraction, homosexuality, lesbianism, and all the LGBT movement out there. I have now, from personal experience, found out that casting out devils and unclean spirits frees a person from these inclinations, from these desires, appetites, and passions. From personal experience, I can testify to you that at least in my experience, in the majority of the cases, that what we thought was true about these attractions being caused by spirits is true, and there is a way to escape. There is hope, and it comes through casting out of devils and unclean spirits. Here a few days ago, I was taught by a man who has some extensive experience over years, actually a number of men. And it was because of some of the things that I've learned and some of the things that were shared that I felt impressed to do this podcast. So I'd like to go ahead and share with you some things that are that were given to me by these wonderful men and their experience. Included in the Dropbox, you'll see a PowerPoint presentation. It's entitled, The Battle Against the Powers of Darkness and the Adversary. This was what we went over together. And I'm just going to go through it briefly here and just discuss a few things. You can look at the PowerPoint completely on your own. But there's some principles involved as we talk about using heavenly weapons to combat dark weapons. Remember that all of God's power, His weaponry, is based upon light, the light of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. If we access some information and have some knowledge, we can move forward in confidence and not be afraid. Even though these things can be frightening, We should come to a point in our knowledge and then our experience to where we are not afraid, and that we address these things with the gifts of God, the number one gift being that of charity or perfect love, as Moroni says. The powers of the priesthood and the name of Jesus Christ always works. Power of the priesthood and or the name of Jesus Christ always works. The reason for the and or is that women have power by faith and the name of Jesus Christ to command that these spirits depart, and they will depart in the name of Christ. You do not always need to raise your arm to the square or say words audibly if you are confronted with a physical attack. Raising your arm to the square is best, but sometimes we're not able to do so. Many of you have shared with me actual physical attacks. We have the feeling in the church that spirit beings can't interact with physical beings in the celestial world. Well, we go right to the first vision and see that that's not true. Joseph was physically attacked so that it bound his tongue and he could not speak. Some of the other accounts said that the attack was so violent that he feared for his life. So if you find yourself, I've had some experiences where people, not only were their tongues bound, but they were literally physically bound so they could not raise their arm. In which case, you can say in your mind, because they cannot bind your mind. If you come to a point for whatever experience that you find yourself physically bound, you can say in your mind, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to depart, and they will obey. The power of the priesthood and or the name of Jesus Christ always works. Do not permit language like afraid or scary or scared. Don't go there. It gives them power and acknowledges that you are frightened of them. Remember that where fear is, faith cannot be. You cannot have faith and fear on the same ground. Perfect love overcomes all fear. Approach in faith. This is the purpose of this podcast, is to give us all additional knowledge so that we can move forward in faith and confidence and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His power and priesthood to not only keep ourselves safe from the dark side, but our loved ones and everyone else that the Lord brings within our circle to be delivered from these dark powers. Every negative emotion, unworthy thought, or temptation is almost always sourced in the powers of darkness. Every negative emotion, unworthy thought, or temptation is almost always sourced in the dark powers. Everything on our Heavenly Father's side, light, the light side, is mimicked or imitated by the powers of darkness. For example, the gift of discerning of spirits is mimicked by divination and or psychic powers. Witches, warlocks, sorcerers, necromancers, all of these things that Moses talked about in ancient Israel are alive and well in our day. Don't be afraid. If you go into this with fear, it gives them power and minimizes your effectiveness. Use the gift of discerning of spirits and revelation and other spiritual gifts to identify the adversary and their weapons. You don't have to use worldly technology for this. Become more perfected in the gifts of the Spirit. When I see different healings that are being done and blessings that are being given to people through various modalities, my question is this: where's the priesthood? I talked to a lady this week who has some gifts that bless the lives of people. And she said, I am simply a cleaning lady. I come in and use the gifts that Father has given me to help clean things out and up, preparatory for things that I cannot do that the priesthood can. If she's truly using those gifts for that purpose, and the fruits of those gifts are manifest. But my question is that all too often we stop at that level, which is a terrestrial level of ministering to people, and we never get to the celestial level, which is priesthood. Individuals, when you're working with people, sometimes people will reveal matters that require repentance. Teach them that you're not a bishop and that they should go talk to their bishop. Begin the process of repentance, but that you don't have the keys for that stewardship. Here's some definitions to think about. Evil spirits or devils, the third part that followed Lucifer in a premortal existence. Unclean spirits, we've gone over this quite a bit. Unclean spirits, those who kept their first estate, premortal councils. Most likely they lived on earth and led unworthy lives. They are unclean until they repent and receive the Savior's atonement. Then they become clean through the atonement, hence the title unclean spirits. We've talked about that. Here's another one. I'm finding out that there are other entities. That's a good thing to call them. Disembodied things or creatures that may or may not have spirits, evil intelligences. Up here on the Navajo reservation, they have a thing called skinwalkers. Just about every culture has something like this. I've personally had interaction with these. I know that they're real, but they're counterfeits of something. And if you identify that, you can approach that with knowledge, not be afraid. Just know that there are all kinds of tools and weapons that the dark side use to deceive and enslave. Some of the laws that we need to obey in order to function in this thing that the scriptures ask us to do, casting out devils and unclean spirits. I want to say that, again, it's my feeling that that sequence of casting out devils and unclean spirits, the reason it precedes the healing of sick and all diseases is because that much of the sickness and disease that afflicts us in this world physically is caused by these spirits. I not only believe that you need to get rid of these spirits out of you in order to be healed of sickness and disease, but I also believe that these spirits need to be cast out before you can be properly instructed in the doctrine of Christ and the mysteries of the kingdom. I don't believe that while you're under the influence of these dark sides that you can properly understand, comprehend the doctrines of the mysteries of godliness and the priesthood. I don't believe you can. So it's necessary. This is the reason why in all the scriptures the Lord lists casting out devils before healing the sick and other blessings that can be received. Always keep in mind in your blessing that the will of our Heavenly Father is inviolate. That is a law. We need to make sure that when we minister in the priesthood, brethren, and sisters, if you're doing this as an act of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, always have in your mind that it's according to Heavenly Father's will. Agency. God honors the law of agency. These are inviolate. Accountability. God honors the laws of accountability and mercy. He desires to bless His children with mercy. The Savior, who is the master physician, heals. We use Him. We should not take or seek for the credit in this work in any way. That disqualifies you if you seek to become like unto yourself. Well, we're finding out that there are many different degrees of devils and unclean spirits. Not just the two, but they come into different degrees. My friend who did this PowerPoint breaks them into groups that he calls the tempters, the observers, emotion-focused, tormentors, and then a group called intermittent. You'll see on the PowerPoint presentation how visualization of the battlefield is represented there. I find it really interesting that as in any battlefield, you have those that are in the battle, and then you have those that are behind the front lines. Here's one of the great things that I've found recently is I've been dealing with those who are in the battlefield. They're in the mix. They are the ones who are causing physical torment, emotional distress, psychological damage. But the group that I have not known about are the reserves that are behind enemy lines, who are tied in with those that are in the battlefield. So in this little representation, you'll see some circles with X's in them that represent the evil that we are combating. And then you'll see lines, and you'll see that we are represented by a circle in the middle. And then you'll see those who are in the battle and engaged, and then you'll see larger groups or others that are behind the lines, and we need to take care of those also. So we're going to need to address the reserves, not only those that we're battling in the fight, but also those that are in the reserves. They look for weaknesses in order to come and infiltrate into our lives. There are so many things in this world that can cause a breach in our defenses that's just impossible for us to list them all. But if you're following the Spirit of the Lord and hearkening unto the Holy Spirit and receiving guidance and companionship through the Holy Ghost, you can be taught what things to avoid. Some of the obvious ones are the things that we listen to, such as television, things that are unworthy, things that violate the second covenant that we make in the telestial world, in the temple, to avoid every other unholy and impure thing. We've entered into a covenant in the law of the gospel to avoid every unholy and impure thing. In our casual approach to the gospel, we open up ourselves, make a breach in our defenses, and the enemy pours in. That breach can be television, it can be things we read, it can be music we listen to, it can be our conversations that we have. It's all boiled down to Mosiah chapter 4, verse 30, where Jacob says this, "This much I can tell you, if you do not watch yourselves, your words, your thoughts, and your deeds, and continue in the faith of what you've heard concerning the coming of Jesus Christ, even unto the end of your life, you must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not." Notice what he says to watch: your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Because those are the very things that make a breach in your spiritual defenses. Some of the other things that you may want to watch out for are devices. Let's talk for just a moment about the classes of evil and unclean spirits. One of these groups are physical attackers. They throw and damage or destroy physical objects, shake buildings, and try to physically hurt people. Another group is what this PowerPoint represents as possessors. They attempt possession. Often occurs when there's a breach in your defenses and they are allowed to enter in. the name of that defense in the scriptures, and you read about it in the temple, is called enmity. Think about how the word enmity is used in the temple. Satan makes a threat to possess Adam and Eve's posterity. God simply says, I place enmity. You look that up and you'll see that it's a natural built-in repulsion, repulsiveness towards things that are from the dark side. Your spirit is godly and is light. There is something that comes with you into this world where you have a natural repulsion towards dark things and evil things. Now, we can lose that in time, but that's a barrier that our Father has sent us into this world with to protect us against possession by evil spirits. Another group are called tempters. There's a group that are tormentors, diviners, psychics, witches, warlocks, all kinds of different things. Here's another group we talked about in the last podcast, ancestors and intergenerational family members. These are all things that you're going to need to be taught by the Spirit and learn to use this knowledge in your ministrations to bless you and your family, your wives and children and others. There's another group called observers. I found it interesting. We were taught that this group never comes into the battlefield. They stand behind enemy lines and watch and observe. We were taught that this group are very sophisticated, very dangerous. The last thing they want to do is possess the body of one of Adam and Eve's children, because if they're caught and bound and cast out, they find themselves in a place that they can't escape. There's a group called indirects, which work through others. Intermittent spirits, advanced evil and unclean spirits take the name of the person they are affecting. This is very dangerous with respect to identifying personal thoughts. Just some things in this PowerPoint. Here's some priesthood instructions. By the authority of the priesthood, or by invoking the name of Jesus Christ, command all evil and unclean spirits and entities and their replacements, see, that's the reserves, to be immediately bound and contained. See, what you do is you're capturing, by the power of the priest in the name of Christ, not only those who are in the immediate battlefield, but those that are in the background who direct and observe. You want to get them all. Command them to follow and obey these instructions with respect to you. The individual for whom the blessing is intended, and for mutual families, friends, and acquaintances. You command them in the name of Jesus Christ to obey the instructions that you're giving through the authority of the priesthood in the name of the Savior. Not only for the person you're blessing, but for all mutual families, friends, and acquaintances. You want to protect everyone associated within this circle. You don't want any transferal of these spirits from one person to another person. So even though you may be blessing one person, what you're doing is you're putting up a shield and protecting the family of that person, any acquaintances, etc., etc. I know a man who's using his priesthood right now, and is through the priesthood that he bears and in the name of the Savior, is blessing the members in his neighborhood, not only his family, but his neighborhood and in his ward. He's been instructed by Heavenly Father to use his priesthood power to bless all of the members in his ward and in his neighborhood, even those that aren't members of the church. And in these blessings, what he does is he rebukes and casts out evil and places shields and protective barriers against the dark forces and these people. They don't know about it. He's doing this without them knowing about it, using his priesthood to do that. I thought that was marvelous. If you're working with ministering angels, ask the ministering angels to give these priesthood instructions. Let me give the instructions again. By the authority of the priesthood, or by invoking the name of Jesus Christ, or both, command all evil and unclean spirits and entities. Remember, there are other things there besides men and women. And their replacements. Think about the reserves behind the line that aren't actually in the battle. To be immediately bound and contained. Those two words. Command them to follow and obey these instructions with respect to you, the individual you're blessing, and any and all mutual families, friends, and acquaintances. What a marvelous way to approach this. There's specific priesthood instructions that you may give as you bless. You've gathered them, you've bound them, and contained them. One of the instructions, never return. Another instruction, do not reveal anything, including from where or by whom they were cast out. Think about that one for a moment, brothers and sisters. You're telling these spirits that you've commanded to listen to you by priesthood power, the authority of the priesthood and the name of Christ, they are now commanded and bound to listen to your instructions. Never return. Do not reveal anything, including from where or by whom they were cast out. This part here I thought was marvelous, and I've used this in some blessings then. I want to testify to you the power. Destroy all records and record-keeping devices. We're talking about in the dark side. They're keeping written histories and records and resource material on each person they're assigned to afflict, torment, and captivate. They keep records, just like we do. In your blessing, command in the name of Jesus and by the authority of the priesthood that all records concerning these persons now, remember who we're talking about, the person you're blessing and all of their associates, their family and acquaintances, destroy all records and record-keeping devices, whatever they use to keep these records and histories. Destroy them all. Do not transfer. This is another instruction. Transfer happens a lot in homes with immorality and abuse. Do not give them any opportunity to transfer. If you want to see an example of that, you can read the story about the man possessed with a legion of devils in the New Testament. And when Jesus cast him out, they asked for the opportunity to go into a herd of swine. Do not allow any transfer. Other instructions as directed by the Spirit or recognized as needed by ministering angels, such as destroy central records and knowledge of the individual. Take it on out. If this group that's afflicting this person has written material and records in their immediate possession, destroy that. And you can even go on out and go to a central record place and destroy all records written about this person. And they are bound to happen. The Lord will send angels or will see to it that these records are gone. Another thing is erase from the memory those devils and unclean spirits that you are now binding and containing. By the power of the priesthood in the name of Jesus, erase their memory concerning this person and any of his family, acquaintances, or associations that you're blessing at that time. In other words, what you've done by doing this is you've removed all resources for future use against this family, this person, or anyone in his family or associated with him. This is marvelous. Cast them out to spirit prison or to a place beyond their ability to influence the involved individuals. Cast them out. And do so until they repent, or they receive a final judgment, or the Father permits their release. Follow the Spirit. Some of the weapons of light that we can use are cords, light cords. You can command that these individuals, especially the very dark ones, the devils, you may receive promptings in your ministration to address unclean spirits, at least some unclean spirits, in a different way. You may feel impressed to invite them to repent and seek out a teacher in the spirit world with authority that can teach them the doctrine of Christ and put their feet on a path of repentance and deliverance. You can teach them they do not need to stay in the employ of these dark ones. You'll have to discern that by the Spirit. As the article that we had about Jane 2 weeks ago, that lived in 857 AD, as it pointed out, she went from a tormentor to a guardian. And part of her desire after having been converted and healed by the Lord was not only to go forward and release and bless her posterity, but to go backwards and teach and bless her ancestry. So this is a person who was an unclean spirit, who after accepting an invitation to repent and come to the Savior, ended up being a powerful guardian for everybody in that family. See, you need to follow the Spirit. We're just giving you some thoughts to think about. I know one person who binds and contains these dark ones, these devils, binds them with cords of light. I've even heard say some call down chariots of fire and warrior angels to take these bound and confined spirits and to carry them away into an abyss or a prison place for 1,000 years until after the millennium or until the Father sees fit for them to be released. Remember, these instructions must be obeyed with respect to the individual receiving the blessing, to you, to your mutual families, friends, and acquaintances. They must be obeyed. This is where power comes in for you to have knowledge to use your priesthood and in the name of the Son and under the will of the Father to deliver these afflicted ones and to free them up so that they can be healed physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now free from dark influences, and to be able to comprehend and rejoice in the greater portion of the word and the blessings the Lord has in store for them. They have to be delivered first. Weapons are tools or resources that are used by the dark side. The fiery darts of the adversary is a metaphor statement that just describes all of the weapons used on the dark side. Some of these are curses, chains, cords, ties, bonds, connections, links, mists of darkness, coverings, and shields. These are the different tools that can be used by these dark beings. Think in terms, brothers and sisters, of warfare. Think in terms of a battlefield. Think in terms of what you know, what it takes to wage war in the physical world. And then look for patterns that take place in the spirit. And you'll start to get a feel for this. Other weapons, tools, and resources are openings, portals, doorways for the dark side. One of the things that I was taught is viruses, and I used to think of viruses, you know, like colds, but now think in terms of these devices that are inserted and embedded in computers that just wreak havoc and can completely fold up a computer and cause everything to be erased. Think about that. The dark side has some of these. These viruses used by the dark side are attached to lies. we hear a lie and we adopt that lie and internalize it. And from that point on, wreaks havoc with our lives. Even little children. I had one person tell me an example. You have a little child that sees parents divorce. They have no idea what the dynamics were of that interaction between adult man and woman. All they can see is that everything's falling apart. And so in order to rationalize what's happening in their life, many of them say, it's my fault. If only I had been a better son or better daughter. And so they take in lies that then embed themselves deeply into our spirit DNA and cause havoc throughout our lives. We can address some of these and ask the Father in the name of Christ by the authority of the priesthood to remove these lies, these embedded, sometimes weapons embedded in the DNA and in intergenerational structures. Some of the other things are patterns, very dangerous, they're subtle. Pattern I heard on that is that person comes in and they turn on the television, go to a YouTube, they watch something very harmless, and then the YouTube takes them to the next thing, and the next thing is not very, is not dangerous, but off the right, you may see something that's unsavory when it lists further YouTubes, and pretty soon you go from one channel to the next channel to the next channel until it just eventually, and I've seen this happen as I've gone from one YouTube channel to the other. Seldom on the first click in do I see anything of a sexual nature. If I continue to click in following one YouTube site to the next, usually within the third or fourth one, there will be something that is sexual in nature that is harmless, and it's not hardcore pornography, but it's just something to catch your attention. And I found when that happens that there is a powerful draw there and you just have to back out. So they use these kinds of patterns. They use our habits and the things that we do throughout our life that are in and of themselves appear to be harmless, but if followed, take you into a place where a spiritual breach will be made in your armor and in your protection. And they'll gain access, programs, etc., etc. Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. We've talked about that. All of the adversary's weapons, tools, and resources need to be severed or removed from individuals, from their families, from their homes, from their businesses, from their work location, even from your automobile. Wherever you spend a good portion of your time, you need to use priesthood and the power of the name of the Son of God to sever all of the adversary's weapons, tools, and resources from these places. Then destroy these items. Once you've identified them, destroy them. And use your priesthood power to do that. Our weapons and tools, some of the weapons of light, we've already talked about some of those. The priesthood and invoking the name of Christ. Our absolute faith, no fear. I found out that if we focus unduly on this, we can lose sight of what's really important, and that's a relationship, a healing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to deal with these things. Get rid of them, but if you're not careful, you can develop an obsession with the very thing that you're trying to get rid of, and it can distract you and lead you away. So you have to use wisdom and prudence. Another one of our weapons is the light and love of Heavenly Father. We've talked about that. That is the number one weapon. Wherever there's darkness, you replace it with light. You pull the weeds and plant the flowers. You replace beauty for ashes and a robe of righteousness for rags. Ask Father to send this light down from heaven and fill the soul of the afflicted individual. You have power in your priesthood and in the name of Christ to invoke light and to command it to come down and replace any darkness. Maintain a spirit of gratitude, forgiveness, joy, and love for everyone. It's the five things that I say that if we maintain these five things, you never need to be worried about falling away or failing your probationary experience. They are humility, meekness, and lowliness of heart. Let me show you this beautiful scriptural pattern. Go to Moroni chapter 8. I want you to show you a list. If you follow this list, you will never become captivated by the devil. You will always be able to be used as a powerful instrument of light in the hands of the Lord. And you will fulfill the purpose of your probationary mortality experience. Moroni chapter 8, verse 25. The first fruits of repentance is baptism. Baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments, and the fulfilling the commandments bringeth a remission of sins. We've talked about a remission of sins comes with the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. Now watch. Here's your sequence, verse 26. The remission of sins brings meekness and lowliness of heart. The five things that I've listed, if you'll obtain those, you'll never need to worry about falling away and going astray. First one is humility. The next one is meekness. The third one is lowliness of heart. The fourth one is a broken heart. And the fifth one is a contrite spirit. If you remain in a state of grace, having those five attributes and gifts of the Spirit embedded in you, you will successfully complete your probationary experience and the foreordained mission the Lord has brought you here. Back to verse 26. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love. Remember what we said about love being the number one? Light and love of Heavenly Father is the number one weapon of light against the dark side. Which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. Well, I hope this is helpful, brothers and sisters. Some more of our weapons and tools. Repentance. Spiritual structures. Tools that you can use, weapons that you can use, shields, boundaries, or barriers around homes and people. You have the power and authority to do that. Ties and connections to the Savior and Heavenly Father. Spiritual pillars that bring light, healing, peace, love, and other blessings into a home. One of the great weapons of light that we've talked about in the past is to dedicate your home. If you haven't done that, I strongly urge you to do that, especially now when everything's ramping up. When a person has these dark entities and spirits removed, many sense that things seem overly quiet for a few weeks, and that's good, because when you're under the influence of these beings, what you're feeling is chaos, confusion, turmoil, disarray. And when you bind and contain these entities and spirits, you're going to sense that all that chatter and confusion and shadow and darkness, disarray, all of that is gone. And you'll find yourself enjoying quiet. Some have little remaining darkness after the blessing. This can be like peeling back the layers of an onion. Can usually remove all of the darkness in one blessing. That's been my experience. There have been times before I learned some of these additional tools and resources, weapons of light I call them, before I learned some of these, it was not unusual for me to have people return and say, you know, I had great healing and great peace and rest there, but they're coming back. But now that I've learned with knowledge different information, destroy their records, command them never to come back, not to me, not to anybody they know. And you can name the people. You, whatever you say, keep this in mind, whatever you invoke by the power of the priesthood, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will obey. They must obey by law. Usually what's happening is if the results of our blessings don't seem to be as we wanted them, it's because we've left an opening. There is some knowledge that we didn't have, that we didn't understand things. Hence, that's the purpose of this podcast, is to give us additional information. We've talked about other things, such as quorum blessings and different things like that, and that's being used out there with some wonderful results. This podcast is just additional information to help you deliver people. Use your personal revelation and your spiritual gifts, like the discerning of spirits. Avoid anything that jeopardizes the spirit. Obviously, one of the main criteria, if you're going to be effective in the hands of the Lord and be able to speak in His name and invoke His priesthood, you must be clean. You must be in a state of repentance. You must be able to be in a place where the Lord can trust you. If you want Him to honor your ministration, you will have needed to sacrifice somewhere along the line, to put yourself in a place where you can speak and He will honor that ministration. Got to watch out for music and entertainment, television, movies, books. You got to watch out for that. Take an inventory of your house and remove anything that the Spirit tells you is restrictive to revelation and the Spirit of the Lord. Say a little prayer and walk through your home using the Spirit of revelation and remove anything and everything that the Spirit guides you. Some of these devils can also leave markers in your home and signs. Sometimes they'll, you may not see it, but they may like leave marks on your wall spiritually so that other spirits can identify this place. It's much like the hobos did during the Depression era when they were walking from the East Coast to the West Coast. They had a particular graffiti that they would mark on walls and bridges and fences, telling those that came after them what this particular person lived at this house or on that street or at this business, what they could expect. And either they would go in as a result of this graffiti and these markings, or they would pass it up. These devils do the same thing. So there's another thought for you in your administration. Remove all markers, all hellish graffiti. Remove anything that leaves messages to those that might follow. Wear your temple garments faithfully if you've been to the temple. This is one of the great weapons of light. And think about what you were taught in the temple when you received the garment. Also, go back over your initiatory blessings. This is another great weapon of light. Think about the blessings pronounced upon you that identified certain parts of your body and claim those blessings spiritually and physically and ask the Lord in the name of His beloved Son to seal those blessings upon you. Ask the Lord to send angels who have charge over garments of light, spiritual garments. And ask the Lord to have those garments of light placed upon you to protect you and also to keep inviolate the covenants you've entered into so that you can be effective in the warfare. Remember that all of this is not designed to remove you completely out of the battlefield. is designed to give you an advantage. Every battlefield general knows that he can win the battle if he can gain an advantage over the enemy. The problem here is the dark enemy has had the advantage for way too long. And what the Lord is doing now, brothers and sisters, is pouring out knowledge in fulfillment of Doctrine and Covenants, section 121. Let's go there for a minute. Go with me to verse 26, DNC 121, verse 26. Remember that Joseph Smith said, man is saved no faster than he gains knowledge. I would put that physically, emotionally, spiritually, or psychologically. Knowledge gives you the advantage. Remember the old prophet Isaiah said, my people perish for want of knowledge. Verse 26, God shall give unto you knowledge by his Holy Spirit, comma, yea, by the unspeakable gift of the Holy Ghost, this part right here, that has not been revealed since the world was until now. Skip down to verse 27, which our forefathers have awaited with anxious expectation to be revealed in the last times, which their minds were pointed to by the angels as held in reserve for the fullness of their glory. We've talked about that in a podcast, and basically, you, the seed of the forefathers, are the recipients of knowledge that has been held in reserve for 6,000 years, which your forefathers saw in vision, and their minds were pointed forward to the time when their children would obtain this knowledge because they didn't. And the knowledge that their children obtain, which angels showed unto their forefathers, has been held in reserve for the fullness of the forefathers' glory. What that means, brothers and sisters, is what you're doing here has a huge ripple effect, forward and backwards. Backwards into your ancestry and forward into your posterity. You and I have no idea what we're doing here in the battlefield of life, what an effect that has on those who've gone before and those who are yet to be born into your family line. You are in the battlefield. The battle is enjoined. The enemy is combined. But we should go forth victorious. And I close by quoting section 128, verse 22. Brethren, and I would put sisters, shall we not go on in so great a cause? Go forward and not backward. Courage, brethren and sisters, on and on to the victory. Let your hearts rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Let the earth break forth into singing. Let the dead speak forth anthems of eternal praise to King Emmanuel, who hath ordained before the world was that which would enable, watch, us to redeem them out of their prison, for the prisoners shall go free. And I would tell you that a person in this life who is captured by the devil is in prison. So not only those who died and find themselves in a different spirit prison place, but those who are in this life who have lost the advantage in the battlefield and find themselves captured and enslaved by devils and unfree spirits. The King Emmanuel, who hath ordained before the world was that which would enable us to redeem them out of their prison, for the prisoners shall go free. God bless us as we use this information, this additional knowledge, in freeing those that are brought into our circle, whether in our own family, our children, our grandchildren, our husband or wife, but others that the Lord will bring to you because you are now armed with knowledge. And the Lord will bring his children to you who need to be delivered because you're now prepared to exercise the priesthood after the order of the Son of God, invoke the name of Jesus Christ, and set the prisoners free. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.